Hello, and welcome to Revolutionize Your Love Life. Do you want to know more about love relationships? What makes them work? How to create the one of your best dreams? Do you want to be in a really healthy, juicy love relationship? In these podcasts, we will give ideas and practical advice to light your way. Whether you're looking for a love partner, already in a relationship you wish could be better, or leaving one that has run its course, there will be something to inspire, empower, and support you. Revolutionize Your Love Life is a fortnightly podcast where you will access the knowledge and wisdom of love experts and relationship coaches from across the world to help you find true fulfillment in love. I am your host, Heather Garbutt. Welcome.
Welcome to From Morning to Light Conversations. This is a lighthearted space where we will dive deeply into certain topics. And my very first guest is Heather Garbutt. She's a psychotherapist and a love and relationship coach. So you can just imagine what we're going to talk about today. Heather, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. And it's really a privilege to be invited to be your first guest. It's lovely.
I'm thrilled that you said yes. Thank you, Heather. All right. Well, let's dive right in at the deep end. So you became a psychotherapist, and I'm sure you had several reasons as to why you chose that profession. But I'm really intrigued to know, what got you so interested in love and relationships, and how was that relating to your personal life, if you're comfortable in sharing?
Yeah, that's a very small question with a very big answer. I think I love to quote Miss Pettigrew from Miss Pettigrew Lives for a Day, when she's speaking to Delicia about her love life, choosing between three men. She says, "I'm not an expert on love. I'm an expert on the lack of love. And that is a fate from which I wish most fervently to save you." And I think that's where I came in. It's not that I didn't have people who loved me. And for sure they did. But I didn't know how to have relationships where I could receive love. If I look back to the blueprints of my relationship life, if I look back to being a child, my parents were of that era. You know, they came of age in the Second World War. They lived their adult life through austerity. They gave birth to my sister and I in the late 50s. So their experience of life was of managing, and putting a roof over your head and giving you food was an amazing achievement from their point of view. And yeah, thank God, you know, that's, I'm really, really lucky from that point of view and very grateful. So many people don't even have that these days. But they had no idea about emotional development or emotional holding. So my blueprint is to look after other people before me and don't have any needs. So that doesn't get you loved. If you live from that, even if somebody wants to love you, they can't really, because you won't let them because you have no needs. I can remember a really nice early boyfriend would always want to come out of the pub. You know, we were, I don't know, early, he was his early 20s and I was late teens. And he would say, "I'll walk you to the bus." And I would say, no, that's fine. You stay in the pub with our friends, you know, because my last bus was way before the pub closed. So I effectively shut him out. He had felt I had no need for him. And really, I made it feel like there was nobody there to love. Mm-hmm. And that's really what I've done. And I'm sure that's a major motivation for becoming a psychotherapist. In a way, there was a sort of quirky kink in the path, because I became an artist first. And that was me sort of saying, actually, there are things that I need to do that are important to express myself. And it's a really fundamental part of me visual awareness and the joy in beauty feeds my soul, it feeds my heart, makes me cry just thinking about it. I came this far for beauty. Leonard Cohen, I said, oh, yeah, get it. And then when I got to the end of my degree, it was, oh, I've got to earn some money now. What am I going to do? And I've always been interested in what makes people tick. So I became an art psychotherapist. And I worked as that first and then moved into sort of generic psychotherapy later on. But the question about love relationships, I'd been divorced a few years. I'd started a business with a friend, which was really successful. I was still doing psychotherapy, but I wasn't attracting men that I wanted to be with, or who were right for me, or who the ones I wanted didn't want me. It's that sort of pattern. And I remember waking up on Valentine's Day, 2016. So this is 10 years ago tomorrow, day after. Yeah, day after. And thinking, I'm never going to wake up on Valentine's Day without a true love again. That's it. So I set a sort of unconscious intention that by the following year, I would have found my true love. And I did. I did a course. It came up on my emails. Do you want to create a miracle in your love life? Yes, I do. Did that course and I never looked back. It taught me so much that I didn't know about relationships, despite being a psychotherapist. There were all sorts of things that I knew, and I'd even worked with couples. And really, I knew quite a lot and was quite good at all of that. But in terms of reflecting what it meant for me, that hadn't really come home to me until then.
Wow, that's quite powerful that you made that decision on that day. Wow, that is incredible. So, could you share with the audience just some of the things that you gleaned from this course that maybe they don't know or maybe they haven't thought of, or how it was different to psychotherapy?
It's future focused. So
Okay.
you're aiming at what you want. And then you do all the work on all of the bits that get in the way of you having what you want and being who you want to be. So you really look at your own values, what's important to you. You really get a vision of the qualities in relationship you want to feel. And then you tune into. And how am I being? It's not what am I doing, it's how am I being? How am I feeling? And that's the part of you that is your wisest self. And you always consult with her or him before you make any decisions. Is this taking me closer to you or further away from you? So from there, you've got a real position of strength to look at all the other things. So first off, you'd look at patterns in relationships. So until that point, I hadn't actually joined the dots to see the similarities in all of my relationships, which was essentially choosing men who were unavailable, either a long way away, belonging to somebody else, not really able to show me love in the way that I wanted to receive it. Trying to think if there are any other ones. Oh, one that became not, didn't become gay, came out as gay while I was with him. One who really thought I was absolutely wonderful into the day he said to me, "Do you know, I'd really like to be with other women as well. I haven't had a lot of experience, so I'd like to try that." On you go then. Just don't expect me to accompany you on that journey. I mean, some people can handle that. I don't think I could. I don't know now, but certainly I couldn't then. So you can see I was choosing people who weren't choosing me in the way that I really needed to be chosen. And from that blueprint, I was choosing them unconsciously, on purpose, to replicate the same patterns of absence. That's all I knew.
That
So
is powerful, Heather. Wow. Sorry, you were going to go on with?
Well, I mean, you were asking me what the sort of that's just maybe well, the original title of Calling in the One had a subtitle which was 49 Days to Love. So there are 49 different daily exercises and reflections and meditations you do. That's right at the beginning, I think, lesson one or two. So that's a really big piece in itself, isn't it?
Sounds like a lot of hard work, Heather.
Yes, and you need support for it. But there's lots of fun in it as well. There's getting to know yourself, getting to know what floats your boat, really loving yourself. People throw that around, what is love, what is self-care? It's really tuning into your feelings and needs and what feels good to you to express yourself. I started dancing, Sarok, which is modern jive partner dance. Never done anything like that before. It's great. Met loads of men, met loads of lovely women too. Went out to play 3 nights a week. It's great. Those were things that I wouldn't have considered before. It sort of fired me up in so many ways. And if you're on that path, you call in yourself first. So the rest does not feel like brutally hard work. It feels like steady liberation.
It's very inspiring, very inspiring. But it happens differently for different people because I never went looking for love. So my first husband died. He passed away very suddenly, and I found myself alone. And one day I did an angel card reading, you know the story, and I drew a card that said romance, and I was still grieving, and I looked at the card and I was like, this is a mistake. There's no way. I'm not interested. I'm not looking. There was no one even on my radar. And I put the card away, and a few days later, a friend became romantic with me. And I went, oh, even know I felt this way about this person. It was so subconscious. It came as a big surprise. It's so different to how you got yourself on a particular path, recognizing your patterns, doing all these exercises, going out dancing. Here I was sitting at home doing angel card readings, thinking, what? Romance? No way. It's almost like the universe threw it at me.
Yeah, well, I think, it does. It gives you what you need. And if you're on your right, I think, spiritual development path, it will give you opportunities or obstacles. And goodness me, my darling, you had enough obstacles. And so then it gave you this opportunity. And because you were, I'll let you tell the story. You were really in alignment. You were trusting your intuition. Go on, you tell the story so they know about you too.
Well, I don't know that I was trusting any intuition. I wasn't. I threw the card away. I was like, no way.
Sorry, no,
But
I didn't mean that bit. I meant about going to Italy and, following through
oh,
on it.
that whole story, yes. So I did feel very guided. You're quite correct. I was very guided to be in this place at this time, with no idea of what was waiting for me. So all the things that occurred afterwards were surprises, like the new love, the new life, the new language. So basically it was like being reincarnated without having to die, because it was a completely new life. And I think people who have either gotten divorced or lost their partners to disease or death or whatever, because I do have several friends who still have their partners alive, but they have dementia and they're in homes, so they're not really with their partner, which is not really a death that's occurred, but it's still grief, and it's still a new identity. So they're all different levels and different circumstances around this. But the question that I wanted to ask you is, what do you think about we're just destined for each other? What do you think of maybe there's something in the coming together of two people that's destiny or ordained, or you knew them in a past life and there's unfinished work here in this life? What about that part in love and relationships?
Oh,
What do you think, Heather?
that's huge. That's huge. You ask all these little questions. So, right, okay. Past lives. I know you're strong on this, and my jury's out. I don't know. I have been guided by you in guided meditations that maybe past lives or maybe unconscious parts of me in my psychological state. I don't know what they are, but what I do know is that they're really spot on and they're really informative. So, in terms of relationships and destiny, I think we always get the person that's going to make us grow more. And the universe will give us nudges. And if we don't li give listen to the little nudges, it'll give us a kick. So I don't know. There are all sorts of things that get repeated. Like Freud would say, if you don't resolve it, you repeat it. So you repeat it. So you're destined to keep on meeting similar people if you haven't done your early work. And that is to learn the lessons. So if you're always choosing people from chemistry, particularly, then you're going to get the dynamics and the psychological patterning from early life. And it's to help you grow through it and grow beyond it. But it may not always feel like that. And if you don't make all that conscious, it just feels like more wounding. And you'll believe, these are the only people in the world for me. As a woman who's attracted to men, I would say, well, they're all the same. I'm just not destined to find anybody different. All the good ones are taken. I'm destined to be alone. Whatever you want to, square it with in yourself. That's what you'll do if you don't learn. But if you see what is the learning, what is the dynamic here? I'm attracted to somebody who lives 300 miles away. Could I have a bit of avoidant attachment going on here? Could I need some power and control over how much I allow somebody close to me because of my family blueprint that if people are close to me, they overwhelm me. So I'll keep them at that distance. But if you want to have a family or you actually want to do things together apart from weekends, then that's not going to get you very far. But if you work through some of that early stuff, you grieve for yourself. It's another sort of mourning for what you've missed out on. And you cultivate in yourself and you grow in yourself a kind, loving parent that says, okay, Heather, he's very, very lovely. I know. But is he going to be good for you? Is he going to give you what you want? You sort of want to be your own marriage arranger a bit as well. Has he got the same values as you? If you want children, does he want children? It's a big thing. If you want to live in New York and he wants to live in New Mexico, that is not going to work. And the qualities that you want, how do you want to live? Is he a nomad? And you want to live in the equivalent of a stately home. That's not going to work either. You really need to feel the literal things as well as the qualitative things. Is he trustworthy? Is he warm? Does he make you feel safe? Are you emotionally safe? Is he kind? Is he articulate? Is he solvent? Is he dependable? These are all questions that you need to be asking yourself right at the beginning, because destiny will bring you people that will make you learn whether you like it or not. And some of them are short term and tempestuous, emotionally tempestuous, and some of them take a lot longer. And I think that's when people look really different on the face of it. But as you grow together, your patterns emerge, and you either grow through them and get closer, or you go into a sort of austere distance. I'm not sure if it was Esther Perel or somebody else who says you can become intimate enemies because you daren't get close. And you might get competitive and you might do all those horrible things that people get into about always wanting to be right and stonewalling and sulking and not engaging when things go wrong, not taking responsibility, not addressing conflict, not being curious about each other. All of those things you really do need to learn through so that you don't just have a marriage or a long-term relationship that ends up in misery.
Wow, that really is a very good answer. So, if I'm hearing you correctly, it's about recognizing the patterns that you have in your life and how that's affecting how you choose a partner. And then you started to touch on, are they the right person for me? Will they be good for me? And that brings me to the question about once you're in a relationship, then there's always going to be a give and take. There's going to be a tug of war, which you started to talk about. So, how do people gauge how much to give away? And how do they gauge where they need to draw the line? And I'm sure it's different for everyone, but it's when you're in it's difficult to have a balanced, cold view of it because being tugged by love, it's a really tricky thing. So, can you talk about boundaries in relationships? Do you have some idea of how people can come to like a really mature way of holding their boundaries firmly?
So firstly, you need to know what your feelings and needs are. So you need to learn how to take care of yourself. There's a meditation I've got on one of my podcasts, which is just called the Feelings and Needs Meditation. I think Catherine calls it the inner sanctuary of safety. It's a beautiful name. So you close your eyes, and this is great for women because you can do it every time you go to the bathroom. You shut the door and have 5 minutes peace if you haven't got toddlers. And you can ask yourself, okay, what am I feeling now? And then you answer, I'm feeling excited. I'm really loving being here with Sadie. I love your sparkly eyes and matches your nature. And we always have wonderful conversations, like being out to play. That's what I'm feeling. And so then I would invite the kindly, warm, compassionate adult self that I have cultivated to say, ah, I see you're enjoying yourself. You're out to play with Sadie and you're excited and enjoying it. That's it. So there's a stating the feeling, asking the feeling, stating the feeling, affirming the feeling. And you could do that about your feelings six, seven times, so you can get deeper in. Then you go on to, okay, and what do you need? What do I need right now? I need to settle into myself to really listen to what you're asking me, to really tune in and get as much of the clarity that I have inside me articulated in words that people can really understand. So I need to create that peace and calm in myself to be able to do that well. Then my kind, compassionate self will say, okay, I see that you need to create that peace and space inside to really think clearly. Okay, is there anything that you need to do that? I just need to slow down and let myself think. And sometimes it might be things from the outside, you know. Sometimes I might need dinner, you know, or I might need a nap. Always need a nap. So.
Could you talk us through one where maybe you've had an argument, you're feeling resentful, you're feeling
Yeah.
angry? How would that script go? Ever?
I need to just start there because I went off on, I know I went off into a deep bit, but if you don't do that, but you haven't got any other legs to stand on. So if you're both doing that and you both know what your needs are, then you can be steady in yourselves. You're not looking for each other to parent you. And you've cultivated the ability to really communicate your needs so that the other person can understand. Because mind reading is not a marriage skill. We always think it must be blooming obvious. No, it's not. No, it's not. We like to be loved in different ways. And what's important to us is not always evident to the other person. So we need to cultivate that articulation. And then if you're together, you need to create regular date nights so that you can talk about the important things. You know, you can give each other information about what you're doing. Like, I need to know the dates for when Ian's off to Italy. I don't think he's coming near you, but anyway, because I'm going to drive him to the airport. So he's going to tell me the times of his flights and all of that. So it's just those basic things. Because otherwise, when you get closer to the time, and he said, "Oh, you're driving me to the airport, aren't you? And I need to be there for 2:30. That'll be fine, won't it? And I've got clients, you know, all day," sort of thing. I'm not going to be very happy. So those sort of simple information things can really stop a lot of arguments so that you are managing each other's expectations as well. I'm not going to be home until 8:30 on Thursday because there's a late meeting. Those sorts of things are really key. Appreciating each other. You know, I always start off, what can you be grateful for? And you tell each other on your date night what you're grateful for, what you pat yourself on the back for this week, and then what you appreciate about the other. And you do all of that so that you've got a picture of what's going on inside each other. You'll each know what's important because you'll know what's grateful. You'll each know what you're proud of and what you might need support to get more of in terms of what you pat yourself on the back for. And you'll each know what the other one really loves you to do to make them feel good. So really simple. And then you might make requests for change. So the other person doesn't have to do any changing. So it might be, what I would really like is if you pick the towels up off the bathroom floor. Because when the towels are on the bathroom floor, I just feel like a servant in the house and really not much value. And the other person will say, okay, I hear you. Mirror it back a bit like that in a conversation. And they can choose. They can forget and leave the towels on the bathroom floor, and maybe we'll notice, oh, that's really upsetting. I better pick them up. Or they'll just do it automatically because it's of importance. And that changes things. And there's also another little thing which I think is lovely. If there's something where there might be conflict on the horizon over something, you can talk about, if I have it all my own way, it would be like this. And if you have it all your own way, how would it be? And how do we manage to find a way that suits us both? Lovely Alison Armstrong has a story about this, about a restaurateur who has a wife and children at home, and he never gets to see them at bedtime, and he doesn't get to have dinner with them either. So they do, if I had it all my own way. And the outcome was that he goes to work and he sets up the restaurant. He comes home and has dinner and puts the children to bed with his wife, has a snuggle with his wife if he wants to, and then he goes back for the end of the evening to complete the work. Win-win. At least twice a week. He can't do it every day, but you know.
That's a beautiful framing of how to come to a compromise, Heather. That's great. Okay, so we're coming to the end of this lovely conversation, which I think we should have a part two. What do you think?
Oh, I'd love that. Yeah, I'm sure you've got some more questions up your sleeve for me.
Okay, so before we go, I'd like you to, would you be able to share that meditation with me? Can we share it with the listeners?
The Feelings and Needs Meditation. Yeah, it's number 12 on my podcast, which is Revolutionize Your Love Life. And it's an SE, it's spelt the English way.
So we'll put that in the show notes so everyone can just go and find it.
Yep.
And then, if people want to find you to talk to you, what's the best way that they can reach you? Like, what's the easiest way?
Just email me, heather@heathergarbutt.com. Or there's a Tidical link somewhere on my website that you can click on and just book an appointment with me for half an hour Q&A or free advice, or see if you want to work with me. Anything that you want to use that half hour for, I just think it's really important that you can come and talk and receive something good, some love from the world that comes through me.
That sounds great, Heather. So everything will be in the show notes. And then one last question before we wrap up. What is one perspective or practice that you hope listeners carry with them that could soften the way in their own relationships? You've spoken about a lot of tools. So which one do you think is key?
The date night, just staying in connection and being kind. My lovely friend Monica Douglas, she talks about if you want to give feedback, is it true? Is it kind? And is it the right time? And if you ask yourself those three questions, you can give the harshest feedback in the kindest way at the right time. And it will be received. If you dump it like the dumper truck full of manure, all you're going to create is a nasty stink in the house.
Wow, that is beautifully said.
I live near a farm.
So true. It's not what you say, it's the way you say it, and it's how you're making people feel. Like, what is your intention? Do you want to get someone's back up and alienate them even more? Or do you really want them to understand and be on the same page as you? Yeah. Very, very important distinction, Heather. Okay, so date nights. How many date nights do you recommend?
Oh, regularly, one every week at least,
Okay, once a week.
forever.
Okay. I'm going to propose that to my husband, see how he takes it.
And it's not sitting in front of the TV tired out. It's actually, phones away, going for a walk, or going to a nice restaurant, or just going out for a coffee, but enough time to enjoy each other's company.
I like that. You're right, we're so busy and distracted. We don't really put back down to be present with someone, fully present. And I think that's a very, very important distinction to make. Just because you've gone on a date doesn't mean you're present with each other.
No, you can be watching the room, People do. You see people, couples having dinner together and they're scrolling the phones and looking to see who's coming in and
Anywhere but with their partner, true.
Absolutely.
Heather, this has been such a valuable conversation. Thank you so much for joining me.
You're so welcome. It's been an absolute pleasure.
So I just want to remind the viewers, if they've enjoyed this conversation, I'd like you to please subscribe, tick that like button so that you can hear more interesting topics. from morning to light conversations. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life. I'd like to know what has been your biggest takeaway from this conversation. Do take a minute and share this with us and visit us on our Facebook page. You can connect with me personally on my email at heather@heathergarbutt.com. If you can think of someone who will benefit from listening to this podcast, please do share it with them. If you have any feedback on how I can improve it, please do reach out to me as I'm always keen to learn more. Thank you so much again for listening, and we'll meet again on the next episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life.